That's not from the beginning.
In the morning.
No, that's from that. That's not from the beginning. I don't think it started from the beginning. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus. could I? Oh, when I come to die. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this.
Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Appreciate my kids singing, my wife singing. Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to, what I want to do tonight, the last couple of Wednesday nights, I've preached out this passage of Scripture, and we had been dealing with the subject of prayer. And to be honest with you, the sermon that this portion of Scripture is such a phenomenal portion of Scripture. I know a lot of you all are working in Awanas on Wednesday nights, and you haven't been able to really go through this portion of Scripture with me. So I want you to be able to go through it with me, because it's helped me a lot. It's helped me just the crazy life. The crazy, crazy life that we sometimes live and go through. The Apostle Paul is writing to a local church, and he's writing to these great group of people that it's one of his favorite churches that God had used him to start, and now he's pouring into them in the subject matter of prayer. One of the things that I've said to you over the last couple of months as we've been preaching on prayer is the fact that prayer is a big deal. It's a big deal in the life of a believer. We've said that when we read God's Word, God talks to us. When we pray, we're talking to God. We pray with a humble heart. We pray with a submissive will. We pray with a sense of urgency in the context of these verses, but a sense of, hey, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And that's really kind of the heart cry that we see the Apostle Paul has. When you study your leaders in the Word of God, you'll find they were men of prayer. They were people of prayer. And Paul was no exception to the rule. And he has taught them, and he is pouring into them, the subject matter of prayer. Prayer is a big deal. We're praying specifically for a revival meeting. And I, as your pastor, I really sincerely mean this. I'm expecting God to do something pretty big that week. I really am. I'm expecting to have a huge movement of Almighty God during revival meeting. And do you believe that? You believe God can do that? Ooh, it's going to be a long sermon, church. No, I'm just kidding. I believe the Lord can do that. And we're praying, and we're seeking God's direction, and we're seeking God's will in that. So we come now to Philippians chapter 4. If you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse 4, read down through verse 7. We'll focus our attention primarily on a couple of verses here. The Apostle Paul writes, and he tells them to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's interesting where that verse is placed, because that verse is placed right after he deals with schism in the body. There were two women in the church of Philippi that they were at odds with one another. And Paul talked to them, and he called on one of them. We called on another in the church to take care of that and to get them to restore that relationship. And it comes right after that. And Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation is gentleness. Let your moderation or gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, plural, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. We ask, God, you'll help us tonight, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll help us even with our voice and with the coughing, Lord, not to be a distraction. And Father, I just ask that you to do something mighty in our midst, for it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul has been, as we've been studying this, if for some of you it's going to be a little bit of a refresher course, but we'll get to the end of the sermon hopefully here in just a few minutes. But in this context, the Apostle Paul is really pouring into them the value of prayer and really, in essence, what prayer is. He's told them several times of different words that he's used, and throughout this entire book of Philippians, he has really talked about the vitalness of prayer. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to y'all. I don't know. But anyway. But Paul has really talked about prayer. He's talked about in chapter 1 what he was praying for that church. He had prayed for them that their love would abound yet more and more, and they would increase in knowledge. And he uses a word that means discernment and all wisdom and knowledge. So he had been praying for this church, and now he's going to tell them how they can pray. So he tells them several thoughts in the context of what prayer is. Now, you'll notice some phrases that he uses here. In verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." So literally, when he says the Lord is at hand, he's saying the Lord is near. We talk about that in the book of James, where James says, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you, unto you." Now, that means near. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So Paul wants them to understand the Lord is near. And then notice verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. The word careful is the word anxious. It's also the word worry. So if you tie those two thoughts together, here's the sermon title tonight. The Lord is near, so don't worry. The Lord is near, so don't worry. You know, sometimes in life, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, sometimes in life, we can be filled with anxiety. We can be filled with worry when things happen that we had nothing to do with sometimes. We had nothing. There was no reason as far as in ourselves. Something should have happened, and yet it did. Sometimes it causes us to worry. And yet Paul is speaking into this in the context of worry. I was reading before I stepped in the pulpit tonight in Matthew, where Jesus was talking about worry and talking. He says, which one of you can add a cubit to his stature by worrying? You can't do that. Worrying is useless. Worrying, all it does is it will affect you negatively. It can affect you physically. Worrying can do that. Worrying, absolutely. You can study that on your own. You can look at any of the websites as far as what worry can do and how worry can, you know, raise your blood pressure. It can cause heart disease or excessive worry. I mean, there's so much that worry can do. Worry can affect you physically. It can affect you emotionally. Man, I've seen people that are just overwhelmed and overcome with worry in so much that it just cripples them. And Paul talks about that, as we'll see in just a moment, what worrying does. So the Lord is near, so don't worry. It can affect us emotionally. It can affect us spiritually. It can affect us spiritually. Worrying is a big deal in a negative way. And it's, you say, "Well, preacher, everybody worries." And that may be the case, but God wants you not to. God wants us not to worry. God wants us to be totally trustful, trusting in Him and relying on Him that He's going to take care of the situation. So we see several thoughts real quick in this verse of Scripture. Notice, first of all, God's presence. We see God's presence in these verses of Scripture. I've read for you these two phrases there. The Lord is at hand. He tells them now in verse 6, be careful, anxious for nothing. The emphasis here is on the Lord's nearness in the sense of His presence. The Lord is always with us. He said in His Word, and I've said it many, many times. If I've said it once, I've probably said it a couple hundred times in reference, in sermons, that the Lord Jesus promised He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. The psalmist wrote about His presence in Psalm 119, 151. He says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth." Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. We gave you in the last couple Wednesday nights, we gave you the benefits of God's presence and how that God's presence in our lives, it brings several things. It brings stability in our life. In the midst of life storms, a solid relationship with God is your anchor. Aren't you grateful that God is your rock? Amen. Aren't you grateful that God is your anchor? He is your stability in life. We can be very unstable. We can be very unstable emotionally. We can be very unstable physically. We can be very unstable if we're not careful spiritually. But one thing that we know, that God will never change. He will never change. He will never change. He will never change. He brings stability in our life by his presence. He brings security into our life by his presence. You can have assurance that he's always with you, ready to help. What a tremendous truth. Ready to help in any situation or circumstance. God indeed is to be our secure base. He is to be our secure attachment that we attach ourselves to and understand. Yes, he's holding on to us, but we very, very intentionally must understand that we better stay anchored in him. Because, sweet friend, I promise you, there's a lot of things in this world that seem like you can anchor to them, only to realize they're like shifting sand that you try to build a house on. It brings stability. It brings security. It brings serenity or quietness or calmness, if you will. Prayerful intimacy gives you quietness and peace in your spirit no matter what happens. You can trust the Lord will guide you through difficulty. It brings sensitivity in our life, the benefits of God's presence in the context of prayer. So that's really the context, and context is everything. Context determines meaning. And so in the subject matter of prayer, he's saying that prayer will make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. God's will should be our number one goal, amen? God's will should be our number one desire. So we can stay sensitive to his will if we in prayer and we seek his presence. God will give you greater spiritual understanding and increase awareness of the needs of others. That's another benefit of that. We talked about the benefits. We gave you several barriers to prayer, to intimacy in prayer with God. Pride is a big barrier. Wow. We talked a little bit about that this morning and how pride, wants to, elevate itself, and pride wants to seek its own, and pride wants to seek its own glory and its own adoration. But yet as a child of God, we should seek no glory but his. We should seek no desire, no will for our lives other than his will for our lives. When Paul uses the word moderation, again, it's the word gentleness. It's a picture of somebody that is big-hearted. It is the opposite of someone who is unbending and in their attitude and refusing to change, refusing to do, go in a direction that God would have for them. No, they often want to go the opposite. That's what the prideful individual does. The prideful individual says, I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what God's word says. I'm going to do my own thing. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a dangerous, dangerous position to be in for a believer. Rebellion, is a barrier to prayer, to intimacy in prayer. Open rebellion is a barrier to intimacy in prayer. When we deliberately disobey the Lord, we cannot have intimacy with him. And the third thing we gave you the other night was just simply being in a hurry. Just too busy can sometimes be a barrier to that intimacy in prayer. Some people never find intimacy with God because they're always impatient. I love a song, but Stephen led us in a song not too long ago, and I think Joseph Haberdink sings it, take time to be holy. What a tremendous truth. Take time to be holy. There must be intentionality. There must be purpose with our walk with God. There must be purpose with our prayer life. We must be intentional. Preacher, I don't have time to pray. Listen, if we get to the place in our life, we get so busy that we don't have time to pray, then on the authority of the Word of God and the principles therein, we have just gotten too busy. You've got to be intentional. So that's in the context of this prayer, but in his presence. But notice, secondly, God's plea, letter B. Notice God's plea. This is phenomenal. This is amazing to me. He tells them in verse 6, be careful, anxious for nothing. That word careful means, and this is phenomenal to me, what the word careful means, it means to divide the mind. God's nearness brings stability in our life. Yet our worry brings unstableness, instability. James said in James 1:8, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible speaks much about the unstable person, the unstable mind, the double-minded man. Well, worry has a sense that worry, in essence, that's what worry causes a person to become. It divides the mind. Just as God's presence brings stability, security, serenity, it brings sensitivity. But yet, when we have that worry creeps into our life, what it does in picture, it divides that person. It divides the mind. It causes us to be double-minded. So what does prayer do? As we pray, if you will, it's like throwing out an anchor. I fished up on with Leslie's uncle a couple months back. I fished up on the St. Clair River. The St. Clair River has a very swift current. And we were wanting to, anchor up and fish for walleye, and we did that. But one of the things that he did, he said, well, we got to throw the anchor out. So he tossed the anchor out, and he held on to the rope. And that boat began to drift back, drift back, drift back, drift back, drift back. And all of a sudden, he goes, perfect. And he tied it off, and what it did, he anchored that boat in that swift current. He brought stability, if you will, in the midst of that current. And you see, when the context of our life, listen, friend, our world is a very swift current. It has a very swift current to it. It will take you down faster than you can imagine. And yet when the context of our life and our prayer life, prayer brings that anchor back. Amen? Prayer brings that stability. So, preacher, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't really see a big deal. I mean, I don't really see things changing. Well, we said to you also, maybe you haven't heard this, but prayer may not, here's what prayer does. Prayer, you may not get everything that you pray for. But you say, preacher, well, why pray then? If I'm not going to get everything I ask God for, why pray then? Because prayer is what prayer will do. Prayer is not twisting the arms of the sovereign God. Prayer is not saying, okay, God, I'm like a 2-year-old little spoiled brat, and if you do not give me what I want, then I'm not going to talk to you anymore. No, prayer is just simply saying, Lord Jesus, it's going to hopefully, prayerfully, it makes us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So sometimes things that we ask for aren't always God's will for our lives. But the more we pray and the more we seek the direction of the Lord, He often will take His will and infuse it into our lives. And so then, in essence, we say, okay, God, it builds our faith, it grows our dependence, it grows our trust, as you'll see in just a moment, in reliance on Him. So this prayer, it acts as an anchor. Another definition, I love this definition. The word anxious, we have an old English word. In the context of being anxious or worrying. And it means, here's a picture. It means to strangle. Boy, that's a good picture of what worry does. Worry can strangle the life out of you. It can strangle the effectiveness in your walk with God. It can strangle that intimacy in your walk with Jesus. It can strangle you. It can strangle the life out of a marriage. It can strangle the life out of a relationship of a parent and a child. Worry. And that's why Paul talks about it much in these portions of Scripture. Worrying, as one writer wrote, he says, is carrying tomorrow's loads with today's strength. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. It literally, heaviness was anxiety in Proverbs 12. Maketh it stoop means causes depression. But a good word maketh it glad. So Paul's going to give us a good word in the context of these verses. He says, the Lord is at hand, verse 5, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, he says. But he uses a conjunction here. A conjunction is a word that joins thoughts together. So he's talked about worry, and now he's going to throw something in there to join something to the worry. He says, God is at hand. Don't worry. But, look at this. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's not an accident, and we know it's under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that Paul's writing this. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not an accident that he's telling us the antidote to worry is prayer. Pray. You're worrying. You get fearful. Your life's unstable. You don't have security. And I'm telling you, friend, this world can be hard on you. This world and the trials that can come your way can absolutely so overwhelm you, you may not feel like you can take another breath when you get up in the morning. So what do we do with it? Do we succumb to the pressures and the pressures of life and the cares of the world and the struggles of life and the anxiety that can sometimes overwhelm us? No, we should not do that. We should pray. We should pray. And Paul tells us to pray. We see not only his presence, second of all, Roman numeral number two, notice his prayer. In everything, by prayer. Be careful for nothing, verse 6, but in everything, by prayer. Prayer does not always change a situation and make it better, but prayer always changes us and makes us better. We see Paul, a couple thoughts here. We see him describing prayer. Prayer is a word that carries the idea of adoration, devotion, and worship. It reminds us of intimacy, if you will. I adore him because I'm coming to know him better by spending quality time in his presence. The better I get to know him, the more I love him. The more I love him, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the more I obey him. One writer said it best. He said, the simple way to gain victory over these and all other issues of sin is simply to spend time with God. Nothing sets apart from the world more than daily loving communication with God, and nothing is more holy than obedience as an expression. I love this statement. I said this to you the other night. Nothing is more holy than obedience as an expression of love and trust. What a word. Nothing is more holy than obedience as an expression of love and trust. This kind of obedience is the manifestation of practical holiness. What a tremendous truth. The word prayer denotes the petitioner's attitude and mind as worshipful. The word has to do with approaching God and gives a sense of worship and reverence. The word here does not speak, this is good, the word here does not speak of the words we pray, but the spirit with which we pray. Prayer never begins with words. It begins with a heart, with a humble attitude toward God. That's a good statement. It never begins with words. You say, preacher, I never thought of it that way. The Bible speaks much of prayer. So now Paul says, don't worry. Don't worry. But pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. So he uses some words now. Look what he tells us. He says, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is an earnest sharing of our needs and problems or burdens. It means entreaty. It means an earnest request. And pictures the petitioner as a subject who comes humbly to his master with a need that must be met. It literally means to want. It is a petition for necessities. For you or someone the Lord has burdened you for. The word describes the sharing of problems and needs with God. Dr. Vance Havner said, he said, prayer may not get us what we want, but it will teach us to want what we need. Prayer has the ability to bring together the family of God to a common ground of fellowship with others in prayer. Supplication. Then he uses another word here. With thanksgiving, let your request, underline the word request. It's the word intercession. Let your request. It stands for particular items on your prayer list. I said this the other night, and I'm so grateful for this. It's plural. He didn't use a singular word here. He uses a plural word. Let your request, plural. There are many times in life that, now, there are many things in life that you can worry about. You can worry about just about everything, right? You can worry about the bills. You can worry about the marriage. You can worry about the kids. You can worry about this. You can worry about that. But again, just very practically, it doesn't help us to worry. So you say, preacher, well, I know I worry, and I know worrying isn't good, and to be honest, worrying is a sin, and I know I worry, but how can I keep from worrying? Pray more. Very simply. Pray more. Be more intentional in your prayer life. Get a prayer list. Do you have some requests on your heart tonight? Do you have some things that are on your mind? Do you have some things that are weighing you down? Put it on paper. You say, I never thought about putting it on paper. Put it on paper. And the next time you have prayer with your Lord, just get alone with God in your prayer closet. And just now, prayer closet doesn't mean necessarily a literal closet where, you know, you're in there in the dark and all that. That's not the point. The prayer closet was an image of simply an area, a place where you just get alone with God. For our Lord, that was often a garden, a solitary place, a place of solitude where he would go and get away from all the hustle and bustle and all the things that was going on, the other aspect of his disciples and dealing with people and the multitudes. He would often just go away just in an area where him and God would get alone. For some, maybe that's your car in the morning, driving to work and from work. But whatever it is, and turn, keep the radio off and just pray and talk to God. And as I said, not to be silly, but you do not have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. On Wednesday nights, we started something different on Wednesday nights a month or two ago, where we take two to maximum three prayer requests at a time, and then one of the men stands and prays over those two to three prayer requests. I encourage you to bring a pen and a piece of paper and write those prayer requests down, especially to the men that will be called in to pray. Write them down. That way, when you're praying, you can open your eyes and just look at those requests. And Lord, we're praying tonight for this situation. We pray for the Coletti family tonight. We pray for Bill Weir tonight. We pray for revival. Lord, I pray for that. We don't have an impeccable memory. We don't have a perfect memory, so sometimes we have to be reminded. And that's what's good about writing them down. Write these requests down. But then he uses another word here. He uses the word thanksgiving. All prayer is to be accompanied with thanksgiving. This demonstrates that prayer is being offered from a submissive heart and an attitude of gratitude. It makes my heart grateful to realize that God is concerned about everything that concerns me. Did you hear that? God is concerned about everything that concerns me. Wow. That's a good statement. God has, I've said it many times like this, that God, he has obligated himself to take care of us as his children. He loves to hear from us. You as parents tonight, don't you love to hear from your kids? Don't you love to talk to your kids? Don't you love when they talk to you? That's a natural, I think, innate desire of parents is to have communication with their children. Well, God the Father is no different. God the Father loves when we communicate, we talk to him. It builds our trust. It builds our reliance on him. We see Paul describing the prayer, but second of all, we see Paul delivering the prayer. He said in verse 7, he said in verse 6, let your requests be made known unto God. He, delivering that prayer and understanding that, and I said this, I wrote this in my notes before I came in the pulpit Wednesday night, and it really just kind of hit me like it's never has before. Did you see the phrase again? Not to be redundant, but just look at the phrase again. Verse 6. He said, let your request be made known. Notice the last two words. Unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. You know what we often do with worry? Things that we worry about? I wrote this in my notes because it really kind of captivated my heart. What we often do with things we worry about is we make them known, those things, we make them known unto everybody but God. We tell everybody about it. I don't know if it's, now there is a sense that yes, we should, you know, share our burdens so others can help us carry the load and help us shoulder that burden. But ultimately, friend, the greatest, let me say it like this, the greatest resource you have is the God that you serve. The greatest resource you have is the God that you serve. He ultimately knows what we stand in need of. I love to hear Brother Tommy say, Brother Tommy prays that, I love to hear him say that. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. And he does. And I tell you, it's hard sometimes to get a hold of it, but it's a biblical truth that his ways are not always our ways. He doesn't confine himself to work inside the box that we put him in sometimes. If you think he'll do that, sometimes he'll knock the walls down and bring situations, allow situations into your life that you can't help but look up. And I know many of you, and looking at your eyes tonight, I know many of you have gone through a lot just in the last couple few years that has been overwhelming. And to be quite honest, humanly speaking, it's a miracle of God that you're even here. And you're not locked up somewhere in a psych ward or place like that. You say, "Preacher, what's your point?" My point is this. We often tell everyone but God. No matter what your problem is tonight, you can tell God about it. He said, "Preacher, sometimes I just feel ashamed to talk to God openly and honestly." Well, let me let you in a little secret. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what's on your heart. He already knows what's in your mind. He already knows what you're struggling with. You're struggling in your marriage? Give it to the Lord. Talk to God about it. You're struggling in your relationship, your parental relationship? Tell God about it. Ask God for his help. Ask God for his wisdom. You're struggling in the business world, your job? Tell God about it. Ask God to help. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's really been struggling with his job. He's been there 19 years, and he was telling me the other day, and honestly, the last several times I've talked to him over the last year, he hates his job. He goes, "Man, I've been here 19 years. He said, "I hate this place. I just want to quit." Well, I talked to him, and I've been praying for him. But the other day, I talked to him. He said, "You know," he said, "honestly, Tracy," he said, "really, it was a lot about the way I was looking at things." He said, "It was about my perception and how I was seeing things." He said, "So now I try to not say I hate my job. I try to just say, 'Lord, you know, what are you trying to show me through this situation, through this job?'" So perception has a lot to do with it. We see him delivering the prayer. What happens when we pray? Well, it does a couple things. It can deliver peace in our life. Look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It delivers peace. That's phenomenal. if you've ever had a time in your life, press in because I want you to hear this. If you've ever had a time in your life where you didn't have peace in your heart and your mind and your life, it makes you enjoy when you do have peace. You ever been restless? You've ever, where you can't sleep at night? Where you've ever had trials hit you to where honestly it's so consuming you that all you do is think about the trial? Remember what Paul said earlier? He uses that phrase that worry causes a man to be double-minded. It causes us to, you know, we have a very complex situation. One part of us is wanting to serve God and wanting to really rely on Him, wanting to love Him, but the other part has gotten so fixated on the problem, on the situation, that it's consuming us. It robs us of sleep. It robs us of joy. It robs us of functionality in our life. It can affect every area of your life. It can affect your job. It can affect your home. It can affect your relationships. God, through prayer and seeking the Lord with thanksgiving and these making our requests and supplication, it can bring peace. But second of all and lastly, it can deliver protection. Prayer can deliver protection in your life. Look at verse 7. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding," and just to speak into that for a minute, I've had times, you've ever met a Christian that really is in love with Jesus and they're serving Him, and man, they're on fire for God, and yet in the midst of it, they have a horrible tragedy hit their home life, or a horrible tragedy hit their life. But people stand back and they stand in awe because they see a person that by all the world standards, their life should have crumbled like a house of cards. But yet in the midst of it, they have a glow about them. They have a kind of a heavenly persona about them, an appearance about them. And they have peace that, what does the Bible say? Passeth all understanding. You can't explain it. So, preacher, how are they able to stand up? Well, because they've got the peace of God on them. and it passeth all understanding. Human mind cannot get its arms around it. It cannot grasp or fathom or comprehend the greatness and fullness and the glory of the peace which God gives. But he uses a phrase here that I want you to see, because this is phenomenal to me. He said, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When the Bible uses the phrase heart, it's basically one. If you were to give a definition of the heart, what does he mean by the heart? It's basically who you are. The heart encompasses everything that you are. So keep your heart. They would often use it as the seat of emotion, the seat of affection in the human body, but it's not talking about the physical organ. It's talking about everything about you, your personality, everything about you. And he says that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard, it's the word guard, shall guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. When the Bible says it'll guard your heart, it'll keep your hearts and minds, it speaks of the Lord providing security. The word keep there is a word that was used of a garrison. The Lord has stationed, this is good, he has stationed the peace of God at the heart and the mind of the praying saint. The peace guard keeps anxiety away from us. This peace acts as a heavenly guard, challenging the approach of anything that would disturb his heart. To God be the glory. What a tremendous Savior we have in Jesus. That when we have situations that overwhelm us, it's good to know that as we seek God in prayer. He said, "Preacher, I never really looked at prayer like that." Well, maybe from going forward, you will look at it. Maybe going forward, the next time you're knocked off your feet and the rug is pulled out from under you, maybe you'll just stop right there. Just stop everything that you're doing. Stop being in a hurry and just in humble submission to God, you just pray and seek his direction for your life. You pray with supplication and your requests and thanksgiving. You let your requests, he says, be made known unto God. And then he says, and if you do that, if you will do that, you rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That means you rejoice in the good times. That means you rejoice in the bad times. That means you rejoice when it seems like every other breath is a trial. Every other day is an unexpected, uninvited opportunity for worry to creep in. And he said, but if you will pray and you'll seek God's direction and you'll earnestly pray, and that word supplication, it means to earnestly, with entreaty. It almost means to beg. If you'll do that, Paul says, God will keep you. He'll keep you. He'll guard you like an army garrison that protects from impending doom and from impending other enemies. Paul says it'll keep your heart. It'll keep your mind. But we need those. We need those to be kept with the Lord when we go through trials. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm telling you, I promise you, I mean what I'm saying this. Sometimes trials, they can destroy you. They can absolutely overwhelm you, and they can destroy you. And if you will, just to repeat the text, they'll strangle the life out of you spiritually. They'll strangle the life out of you emotionally. They'll strangle. That's the image, the old English word, means to strangle. When you worry, you're strangling yourself. It can rob you, it can strangle the life of you spiritually, physically. I've met people over the years, I've seen people over the years that have a PhD in worry, and it has so consumed them. They've worried about everything, and it's so consumed them, it's affected them spiritually. Physically, they've had heart attacks. I know people that have had heart attacks ultimately because it was linked to their years and years and years of worrying. So stressed out, their blood pressure's through the roof, and they're just filled with anxiety. They have to take a pill to go to bed at night. They have to take a pill to get up in the morning. I'm not a medical doctor. If you need medication, you go to your doctor. You let him do a full physical on you. You let him check your blood levels. You make certain that everything's okay physically. But worrying can affect you. Worrying can raise your blood pressure. It can cause a lot of problems. But if we'll pray and we'll seek God's direction and we'll do what the Bible says, let your request be made known unto God. Have you talked to him in a while? Stand, please, for him invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken.